So I have a question about the requests from foreign countries for information about how, do those requests come directly to you? Can you provide an example of how that works, how you decide?
Typically, that will be addressed to the prosecutor, and it comes to us from the prosecutor. Normally, it will go to the prosecutor, a request for information, which will be then passed on to the chief of prosecutions. And the chief of prosecutions would have us do the necessary, and we would package the material, and the chief of prosecutions, what that entails, we would look through to see confidential information and all that, and then tag the material according to the levels of confidentiality. It might be if there are materials covered by a court order, we can't even release that unless the authority is willing to go before the chamber to ask for a waiver. And so what we will do is then classify according to the levels of confidentiality and the conditions applied, and return to the chief of prosecutions. And the chief of prosecutions makes the final decision, and the material is, you know, then forwarded to the authorities. And sometimes they come here. They bring in their investigators. They come here. We've received people from many jurisdictions from across the world, especially Europe, from Belgium, from the Netherlands, Finland. And so we've had a few people, investigators here.
I'm sorry. Do you receive other requests from other types of people in different roles for information, requests for information, say the public? Would they come to?
That's been few and far between, actually, because we've had requests for tapes of Radio Rwanda and RTLM. I think that's because the more public materials are available even in Rwanda and in Musanzu. But the more, you know, we've been approached for the tapes of Radio Rwanda RTLM by students who are doing, a student who was doing research. And now I just received another request on Radio Rwanda RTLM. Yes, that's but it's very, very, very small. Yeah. Okay.
So you've been working here for a number of years, and in your role for just over a year here as the Chief of Information and Evidence. Before I ask any more questions, is there anything that you would like to tell us, to tell the future about your job or about the tribunal?
Not now.
Okay. So when in your role currently, can you reflect on some of the challenges of your role? And describe some of those.
The challenges of my role. I think the first challenge will just be the imperative of the moment. You know, a lot of our work is directed by the tempo of the court. So when we have something coming from the courts, it becomes imperative. Everybody is focused. It makes long-term planning almost impossible. It becomes something you have to do from time to time, because you are busy on a daily basis, one day, one crisis. And so you're just driven by that. And sometimes you just have to force yourself to say, you know, there are other things that are, you know, more systematic, more long-term that you need to be planning on, you know. Plus, we service over 100 attorneys, and when they want something, each attorney wants what he wants now. So if you say, can that wait 10 minutes while I service B, it's like, no, I want it now. So that's a challenge, because you still need, as a section, to have some type of focused, systematic planning. So that the tension is always difficult to manage, you know. That would be the big challenge that I find. The other challenge would also be the fact that just funding. The two-year cycle of funding, you might have problems. You may have find a litigation support software that you want to be able to use now. And the UN cycle is 2 years. So you plan 2 years ahead. And I don't know how many people plan 2 years ahead. You plan 2 years ahead. And it's always difficult to predict with certainty what you needed. But that, I think we've been lucky, because we've had the EU supporting us in information management. So that has taken the stress off a lot of the our inability to respond to our environment the way we would like to, because we have to plan, you know, like a bureaucratic setup, and at the same time you have in between time, you know, things that are more pressing and you want to do now. And then you ask and I say, well, you didn't put this in your budget.
Can you tell me more about the EU support?
Yes, the EU supports the Office of the Prosecutor in two areas. They supported, well, that I'm sure there are other areas across the tribunal, but since I've been here, we receive support in capacity building for the Office of the Prosecutor, for the Investigations Division. That was the fund itself was during the time of my predecessor, Maria Warren. But after I came, during my time, we were able to rewrite the fund, rewrite the conditions to do capacity building, not just for Investigations Division, but for prosecutions and appeals. And that's also, again, that's as a result of the shift in an institutional mandate, because we went from full-blown investigations to now prosecutions and appeals. And we just thought then that the focus was going away from investigations. We weren't doing new investigations. So it was more important that we equip the prosecutions and appeals division. So we rewrote the grant to focus on prosecutions and appeals. And I got the approval. I mean, I think that was the first thing I did, actually. And I got the approval, and so we're able to do capacity building for prosecutions and appeals in addition to the investigations. The other way the supporters, which I said I was grateful for, is the information management, information security and management. In that, we've been able to purchase additional software. We've been able to have training. The training that we've had with you people has been from that fund. So it's been very helpful that we had that. So it's allowed us to respond to our environment more quickly than the regular budget would have allowed us to.